You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Welcome to From the Black Hole, episode 49. On today's episode, our Women's World Cup 2015 preview. Episode 49. Here we are.
Woo. Do we need to like start making the orders for the confetti and everything for
Yeah, I think they've already planned the parade.
Good.
Not like Toronto FC, please. Lurs, please. Sorry, it had to be said. Hey, by the way, everybody, Lars is back.
Yeah.
And
I'm a human being.
You are. I'm sorry to say, Lars, I just have to say, I've been fielding so much of your female fan mail over the last couple of years. Ladies.
So my mom?
No. There's stacks and stacks of boxes. I've had to like build an addition on the house. But ladies, Lars is officially off the market.
He is.
He's a married man.
Like,
I know. I was waiting.
It's like you guys gave me a moment of silence.
I gave you a moment to fill the silence, and you just elected not to. So
yeah, you gave yourself a moment of silence.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, congratulations, Lars. We're not going to talk too much about that.
No,
because this is a soccer podcast. It's not about relationships and stuff like that.
Are we sure?
Well, it has been occasionally, hasn't it? But we don't want to get Jeff talking about relationships, so that's why it's not about relationships.
Goodness sakes.
He'll tell you all about his conversations.
His conversations.
It was a conversation. We finished watching Crazy Stupid Love, and then we laid back on the couch and talked for like 45 minutes.
Good. I was good. I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Yes. I'm a sap for rom-coms. I love them.
There you go.
I think that's far more embarrassing than anything we could have said, so let's continue.
It depends. He's a new age man, I guess, right?
It's true.
There's a nice piece of silence in there, too.
Okay. Sorry, I wanted to respond, but I took a sip of iced tea and it went down the wrong pipe. I'm struggling a little bit.
Okay, anyway, let's get to the business at hand. It is our 49th episode. It's good timing because our marching band 50th episode is going to be during Women's World Cup in Edmonton. I still don't know how we're going to do it because I was just talking to Lars off air before you got into the conversation here, Jeff. I don't think I can take my Mac to Edmonton.
Oh shit. What are we going
to do? Take it to the pregame and take it to the postgame and record stuff.
What are we gonna do?
I'll lose it or it'll get destroyed or I don't know. I asked our good friend Steve Sander if he had a digital recorder.
Yeah.
And he does not.
So we'll just have to use our phones or something.
Well, I don't think I'm going to have enough space on my phone.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I won't have anywhere to download it, and I'm going to be in Edmonton for more than a week.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyway, I'll get it. So I'm going to try and get it sorted, and then we'll be ready to go for number 50 while we're there. But of course, what I'm alluding to here is that everything right now, and I mean everything, is about the Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
Even though there's a start of qualification for the men, for the World Cup qualifying for the men.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that today.
We're not going to talk about that at all?
No.
Oh, why not?
Because it's the Women's World Cup.
I understand, but we can at least throw a little ditty in there about the Men's World Cup qualifying.
No, we're not going to.
Ah!
We're going to talk about those two games against Dominica after they happen. I have spoken.
Sorry, still dealing with his team.
Say that again? Lars, what did you say?
I said, so let it be written.
So, yeah. There you go. Is that how that quote goes?
Okay, well, can we do the one thing about men's rope for qualifying?
Moses, but that Moses movie, wasn't it? The Ten Commandments?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, Jeff.
We said the one that, okay, well, let's do this. And,
go
and
ahead.
Every person across the country can give me a ball sack punch if we end up losing out. But I will say, let's get the conversation about making sure everybody's saving money for either a Caribbean or Central American trip in the fall.
Yeah, who? I don't even really know who we might get in the fall.
Well, I talked with the marketing dudes at the Voyagers Cup match in Edmonton.
Okay.
When I won, CSA fan of the match for that.
Here we go again.
Yes. I'd just like to thank.
Hey, oh, hold on. Sorry. Let me interrupt you. Are you wearing that bag?
No.
Oh yeah, your voice isn't muffled. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right. It is sitting nicely, folded nicely in my storage room.
Okay. Anyway, yes. You talked to the marketing dude.
Yeah, talked to the marketing dudes, and I said to them, I said, well, hey, maybe I made a joke to him, like, well, maybe this, you guys, like the CSA, should sponsor all of us super fans to have a trip down to the Caribbean in the fall after we beat Dominica to play whoever our Caribbean opponents will be, because we already know that we're going to get Caribbean islands. And he said, well, we've been told by CONCACAF that FIFA is mandating that CONCACAF has to do random draws for every single round.
Oh.
Yeah, so remember CONCACAF came out with that document?
Yes, yes.
That had, like, the color-coded?
Yeah.
It didn't make sense to anybody because it was so shittily designed.
It made sense to me.
Well, it didn't make sense to me. It's like FIFA's bracket for the...
I know. That's exactly where I was going with it.
Anyway.
You have to speak a little louder, Lars. I couldn't catch that.
Yeah, can't hear you, Lars.
Did you remember how long we spent on that podcast? It took us, like, I think it actually took us about 2 hours, 45 minutes of which was trying to figure out that stupid bracket.
I think it took us 2 hours and 45 minutes just to convince Jeff that he might be wrong. Like, seriously, it's like, no, Jeff, it goes like this. No, I looked at it. And it's like, no.
I still think I'm right.
Yeah, of course you do.
Yeah. So, anyway, back to the actual topic du jour.
Okay, this isn't the topic du jour. How do we even get on this?
This is topic du jour à la moment, okay? Only Fred understands what the hell I just said. So it looks like we aren't even guaranteed to get a Caribbean island in the next round. We could potentially end up with Nicaragua, El Salvador, and Belize or something weird like that.
Yeah.
So there's a chance. I really hope we get Curaçao, because that's where Kokomo is.
Oh, is that right?
Kokomo Beach is at Curaçao.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So, you know, but you don't want to go to Aruba or Jamaica?
No, I don't want to take you.
What about Bermuda or Bahamas?
I don't really like your mama. All right, let's actually get on to...
We know we can't go to Key Largo, because that's, like, in the U.S., so... But maybe Montego.
Oh, yeah, Montego we could, yeah, yeah.
This is terrible.
Well, if we Key Largo, it'll probably be hurricane season anyway.
So. Yeah. Oh, okay, anyway, yes, if there's a place in the Caribbean, the CSA should sponsor us all to travel down there.
Yes,
I agree.
We'll get there fast, but we'll take it slow, okay?
Okay.
Okay, agreed.
If we go on down to Kokomo, that's what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. So if we can get onto the proper topic du jour.
Okay, I just gotta say one more thing. There's a line in that song.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it is, but I think it's about Montserrat or something like that. But when I was a kid, I thought it said...
Montserrat?
I think it's in Martinique. The first part is like in Martinique.
Yeah.
But the rest of the line, to me, when I was a kid, I thought it said, in Martinique, there's mounds of rotten steak. Like, that's what it sounded like.
There probably is.
No, I figured it out for the first time like a year ago. It was very recent, right? I heard the song again. And you know how you hear songs after whatever, you haven't heard them for 15 years? You probably don't. Even 5 years? And you never really knew the lyrics, and all of a sudden something clicks for you. Something clicked for me, and I figured it out, but I forgot what it was. Yeah, for the longest time, I thought, I know it's not Mounds of Rotten Steak, but that's sure what it sounds like. That's not a place you'd want to travel to, I don't think.
No. Well, I mean, that's probably who we'd end up drawing with our luck, so.
What? Mounds of Rotten Steak?
Mounds of Rotten Steak.
Do you think we could beat them? Could we score up?
It depends who's healthy.
Could we score on them from open play?
Well, I mean, if we, you know, yeah, could we score on open play? That is questionable. If DeGuz is in the midfield, I don't know if we could score from open play.
Okay, let's stop talking about men's World Cup qualifying and all this nonsense, because we're not even supposed to be talking about this.
The last 10 minutes.
Jeez.
Okay, well, right now you can insert one of your doogly 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 thingies in between topics.
That sounds terrible. No, I'm not gonna. I don't want to do any editing tonight. I'm tired. No, I just want this to go live to tape. No, I'll probably do some breaking up stuff. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Okay, no.
You laser noises in this one?
Yeah, no doubt. Hey,
that'd be awesome.
I'll steal them from Star Wars, and we'll get sued.
You get sued. You want to get sued?
Yeah, exactly. It's the shitting. Okay. The shitting. So no, let's. I want to talk about some kind of off the field women's World Cup stuff first.
Okay.
And let
Who's
me just.
Hottest? Who's hottest? Is that what we're starting?
No,
with?
No, Jeff. No. Okay. No.
That was for. That was just. That was solely for Ingrid Green.
You mean who's hottest as a team? Of course.
That's very bad, Jeff.
It is bad. Yeah. No. That comment was specifically for Ingrid Green because I know she's probably shitting herself right now. So.
I'm not even sure what to say now. No, come on. This is actually this. Yeah, you know what? This is.
What's the question then?
This is a bit of a segue in a way. Okay. Yeah. It's maybe not the most direct segue, but I'm going to work it in.
This is a bit of a segue.
I'm going to work what you just said into the segue into what I was going to ask.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so it should be. It's very disappointing to me. Very disappointing.
Yeah.
That as of the latest update that I've read, which who knows exactly how current that is, but I read it just a few hours ago. Ooh. They've sold only a little over 40,000 tickets to the June 6th game, the tournament opener,
yep.
Canada versus China in Edmonton. What?
Yeah,
why was this not sold out in like January?
I'm not surprised.
And, okay, here's what
don't even know what's happening.
Yeah.
Well, how could they not? Well, I realize it maybe hasn't been advertised and pumped up enough, but I still think there's an undercurrent of, I don't know, you know, women's sports don't count as much, and you know.
That's true, and I'm not saying that women's sports don't count. That's what I'm saying is there's.
Yeah, there's just you mean right after you just made a hot joke.
Okay, that was purposely done.
Right. Oh, it was ironic. You were saying doing it ironically.
Yes.
Like for Jeff like says. For shock value or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounded pretty sincere to me. Kate, no. I'm gonna ask Lars what he thinks about this first. Sorry, Jeff. I'm cutting you off.
That's fine. I'm gonna eat a Nutella cookie.
Well, I think I summed it up pretty well. Like nobody knows what's going on. I'm sorry. I consider myself. Reasonably in touch with people and reasonably in touch with soccer, but you know, this date kind of snuck up on me, and you know, and I had tickets to this, so
it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that you've been writing exams like crazy, working, and just got hitched.
Yeah, no, it has nothing to do with that. Well, it does, but and it doesn't. Nobody knows the tournament's going on. If you were to ask like the average person in the street if they knew the Women's World Cup was coming to Canada, I can guarantee you 9 out of 10 of them right now probably don't know it's coming.
So
that's just the truth. Nobody knows what's going on.
So like, okay, here's
it's hard for me to believe that it's 2015 right now, because I haven't heard anything exciting about the Women's World Cup coming out. Have you heard anything?
Well, there's been tons of advertising on TSN, but beyond that,
I hardly watch TSN.
Yeah. If you don't, and you don't follow like, you know, 300 soccer specific Twitter feeds like I do, mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. There hasn't been, like, you know, a lot of other mainstream media press or advertising going on. So continue along that vein, Lars. Is this just a massive kind of screw up by the organizing committees? Did they think that this was going to take off and grow legs on its own? And, or is there a lack of budget? What do you think's going on there?
I wouldn't say budget. There's always money to be found when it's a major event like this. I think the problem is it was almost like it was awarded yesterday. Like the tournament just sort of, we got it, what was it, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Yeah, it's a couple years for sure.
Most of the tournaments seem to have several years advance notice. You know, we can put on a good tournament here in Canada. It's not like we haven't done that in the past, but it's like it was awarded at the very last possible second.
You know, Lars, when were we at that, when we were at the Panama Canada World Cup qualifier in Toronto? Was that 2012? September 2012?
Yeah.
So that they had the Mission 2015 banner that people were signing at that party at whatever that restaurant is, not far from BMO. What's it called? Gossip.
Gossip?
I was going to say Rumors. Yeah. Yeah, Gossip. So, I mean, that was almost 3 years ago.
Yep.
Or was it 2013? No, it must have been 2012 because it was Gold Cup in 2013. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of poor, don't you think? But even in the city of Edmonton, don't you think enough people would know in Edmonton to...
Well, maybe. I don't know. I live here in Calgary, but no one's talking about it here.
Wow. And there's a million people sitting there that are within 3 hours drive to fill those other seats. Yeah, go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yeah. Can I just say, I think there is a much more concentrated marketing effort happening in the host cities. And because there's hardly anything about it here in Saskatoon outside of the soccer community.
Yeah, there's nothing in Regina.
There's probably nothing in Regina outside of the soccer community.
You know what? Even within the soccer community, I don't know that there's that much.
See, we have such... This is... You know what? We have such a poorly fractured national soccer community because of all the levels of bureaucracy, having districts, provinces to CSA, you know, that's symptomatic right there. Like, the mm-hmm. underlying problem is that we have too many levels of bureaucracy. And the symptoms are lack of ability to market the fucking Women's World Cup to the people of the country. Sorry, Rob, you're gonna have to do editing.
Oh well,
it's true.
Those laser noises.
You know what? I don't even think I'm too lazy to edit that out this time. I'm just gonna call that an Ian Clark moment.
Yeah. So that's you know, like that's exactly it. Like, you have to deal with so many different. It's like an engine. It's like comparing. It's like comparing an electric motor to a gasoline to a fossil fuel burning motor. You have basically like a couple moving parts in that electric motor, and you have a million moving parts in that gasoline engine. Canadian soccer's structure is a gasoline engine, whereas most other countries around the world is more like an electric motor. We have too much crap under one roof. Too many people, too many moving parts, too many bloody people that have to be involved to make anything happen, that it's impossible. Because there's too many people in there who can use their own personal biases to just not do anything because they don't want to have to deal with it.
So, right? Like, there's a broken crankshaft.
Yeah. Basically, I think there's a busted U joint. It might have happened on your head. But
okay, so what's the most upsetting part about this then? For me, I just want to throw this out. For me, it's the fact that Canada has this tournament, and our women deserve to be supported. And I mean, for this first game, some people in Edmonton have said, "Oh, there's going to be a big walk-up crowd." Although I was talking to Steve Sander, I mentioned that a couple minutes ago, and he was saying, yeah, like the city of Edmonton didn't do a very good job of clearing the decks for, cause there's like five other festivals on the same day. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's
apparently
just like
Pride is on. Apparently, Pride is that weekend.
Yeah, the Pride parade is going to go right past the pregame. So that might be kind of neat. But
that'd be cool.
I guess my point is, geez, like, couldn't we have done a better job than this as a country for our women's national team? Like, if they've kind of captured our hearts, I think we're not holding up our end of the bargain here. There needs to be 56,000 in that stadium on Saturday.
What market is the number one media market in the country?
Edmonton? No, I don't think so.
The only one that didn't want the games.
Well, didn't want or couldn't take because of Pan Am, right?
If you're going to tell me that they couldn't have made an effort and put a game in Toronto, it wasn't even supported by the City of Toronto. The City of Toronto wanted nothing to do with it. This was the whole Rob Ford era of we don't want anything to do with soccer. We don't want anything to do with the marketing of soccer. They brought the Pan Am Games there, yes, but that was just a convenient excuse. If you're telling me that they couldn't have put a little bit of time aside to put a game at BMO, you're absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. This is the City of Toronto. They could have made time to do that.
No, I disagree. I think they got invested in the Pan Ams and they had to go all out to be able to make money off of it.
Not going to make money off of it. Nobody's going to make money off these tournaments. The point, if we wanted to have the Canadian national team playing in Toronto, we could have done it. But the City of Toronto probably needed to step up and say they were interested, and they said they weren't. At the end of the day, they said they weren't.
You know, like, there's three people.
This is the value of our program to Toronto City Council. Simple as that.
You know, there's three people whose opinions I want on that very question of whether Toronto actually could have done both. Number one is Steve Sandor. Number two is Dwayne Rollins. And number three is Bobby McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear what those three gentlemen. And hell, let's even who else? I mean, let's throw in. I don't even know. No, let's leave it at those three.
Okay, here's what we're going to do, Jeff.
Yeah.
This is almost like a new segment.
Yeah.
I will get in touch with Steve Sander and Bobby McMahon.
Yeah.
I was actually emailing. I was in contact with both of them over the last four or five days.
Yeah.
You talk to Rollins.
Okay.
And we'll see what they say, if that was even possible. Because I think that you guys are right in the sense that if you were going this way, and I'm assuming you were going this way, you put a few games in Toronto and suddenly this means more nationwide because it's in the major media center of the country.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yep. I think the Women's World Cup not having Toronto as a host city is one of the actual reasons, and the lack of buzz in around the rest of the country is simply a symptom of that being one of the underlying reasons. I think another underlying reason is, quite frankly, not only are Canadians in general, like the general populace, not totally warm to soccer still. Like, it's still seen as kind of on your far extreme, it's seen as a sport played by gays and fairies. and yes, that was definitely said.
The xenophobic,
extreme. The xenophobic trash bag extreme. And on the other end, that's just something that, you know, a bunch of expat Europeans and South Americans are into, or Hispanics, if we can kind of generalize. That's kind of another extreme. And I think that there's just not and coupled with that, it's the Women's World Cup too, right? It's not the men's, it's the women's. So there's also a perception of subordinate quality.
Let's just say it's the typical sexism of sports.
Yes, sexism of sports mixed with classic Canadian hillbilly attitudes, mixed with Toronto not being a host city, and maybe there's even another reason. But there's this tournament. Definitely had an uphill battle. I think the CSA.
Maybe they underestimated that.
Well, perhaps. I mean, let's look at the other side. Let's look at it. Let's look at the CSA actually being tactical and wanting to put the ultimate challenge on themselves to show, to give absolutely no doubt that we could host the Senior World Cup, or the Senior Men's World Cup, the World Cup, if you will,
mm-hmm.
By giving ourselves the ultimate challenge and trying to at least meet goals that maybe aren't public. Maybe there are goals that FIFA has set out for them that we are going to meet. Like, for instance, beating the previous World Cup, so Germany, the World Cup Germany, beating Women's World Cup Germany's overall attendance.
Yeah, it was like 800,000, I think.
840,000.
Now, I mean, we've got an unfair advantage where there's 16 teams in Germany's Women's World Cup and 24 in ours.
Yeah, so. But just because there's more games doesn't mean that people are going to get drawn in to see some of the teams that are going to be playing, right?
No, but number of spectators per game can be quite a lot lower for ours, right?
Yes, yeah, you know, but I'm just, you know, I wouldn't put it past, I think we have some smarter people, and yes, some people will just laugh and say, you're totally deluded, but I personally believe optimistically that we have some smarter people running the CSA's ship than we're willing to believe.
Yeah. You know, I took a quick look at the numbers a while ago, and I don't remember exactly what they were, but the CSA said they were aiming, you know, on the high end for 1.5 million,
yep.
Right? 1.5 million. That's over 40,000 spectators per session.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That's a high number, especially when you've got a stadium like Moncton. Yeah. Rolled in there, right? I mean, you need to sell out some games big time. I mean, you can't even fit 40,000 in
Moncton.
In Investors Group Field in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's 40. Isn't it 40?
No. I think 30? It's I think it's 28. Isn't it?
Is that it?
Well, I thought it was 28 when we were there for the women's game last May, and it was sold out or very close to 28.5 maybe. Yeah, don't quote me on that. I might have the wrong number.
I loved that stadium so much.
It was great.
So impressed with that stadium that I was disappointed that we got Edmonton.
Yeah.
Because I hate Commonwealth. I'm not going to lie. I absolutely despise Commonwealth.
You know what, though? I mean, you can't put Canada in that small stadium. You have to put it in Commonwealth where if you're going to get 50... Well, actually, now that I say that, what am I saying? Maybe the U.S. should have went in Edmonton and filled it with 56,000.
Yeah.
You know?
In that sad state of affairs that the frat boy party that American Outlaws is can actually probably potentially fill that stadium.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I'm not working in Winnipeg over the next couple of weeks. Let me tell you that. I wouldn't be able to get a hotel anyway by the sounds of it. Let's kind of move on, but very quickly. And I'll let me go back to Lars first because he's been kind of quiet for a bit. We've been
He's been chatting away.
Is it possible for the visibility and media momentum to turn around, to not be so kind of lying in the weeds as it is right now? And what will that take if it's possible, Lars?
Well, at this point?
Yep.
It's a little late in the game to be to change the marketing campaign. It's like a week away. What's going to sell those tickets?
So you're saying no, it's probably too late.
I'm saying absolutely it's probably too late. It's a week away. You can't just...
You know what you got
to
do?
Flip a switch. You need like a build up to this and it just never happened.
You know what you got to do? You got to sell the remaining tickets to corporations and tell them to give the tickets to like charities basically. Like tell the corporations to buy tickets in kind for charities and tell the charities to get people.
Well, I think it's
going to do that right now.
Yeah, you've only got like 4 days to make that happen.
Try it. Why the hell not?
No.
I'm not even talking about that. Who's going to do that right now? Like, where are oil prices at in this province?
Well, that's true.
Yeah, it's true.
So here's just a quick thought on this, and then we'll move on. If Canada has a big, spectacular win on Saturday, and that suddenly gets some airplay, it might turn the ship around a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, it would, because then people would be like, you know what? I don't have to be afraid to get behind this team because we have a real shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they like
the China game is the linchpin, isn't it?
Yeah, if they pump 4 goals past China and let's just say that they manage to get really close to selling out over the next week, like they manage to sell 10,000 more tickets, all of a sudden there's a huge walk up, or you know, And it looks, the stadium looks packed. It looks great on TV. A few more people tune in, and all of a sudden they have this big win, and then it gets some publicity. Maybe all of a sudden the ball will start rolling. And it wouldn't hurt for them to go deep in the knockout round, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Not holding your breath on that.
Okay, well, topic two here. We're going to talk a little bit about the group, and it's really only one idea that I want to kind of ideas. I want you guys to express yourselves on this one idea, and that is there have been a reasonable number of people now saying Netherlands are the favorite to win the group that Canada is. So it's Netherlands, Canada, New Zealand, and China. And it'll be between, I saw a couple of people say it would be between China and Canada for the second place. And I'm just like, is that, like, are the Netherlands rising that fast? Or is this just Canadians either not wanting to jinx our own team or being typically Canadian reserved or maybe being a little bit deluded? Or am I the one that's deluded that thinking that the Netherlands results don't say that to me, but I'm not sure. What do you think, Jeff?
You know, I think, I don't know. Like, I just want to believe that we're good enough, but, I'm just terrified. I'm terrified about the China game. We could come out, the nerves could just destroy us, you know? We have to really hope that Herdman has convinced the CSA to get the greatest sports psychologists is what I'm trying to say, the greatest sports psychology team together for our girls. Like, man alive, we really have to hope that we are ready for that opening game. That like opening game against China is the linchpin,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's picking the Dutch to top the group, figuring that we're going
to
stop.
Well, hold on. I don't know that everybody is picking the Dutch to top the group.
Everything I've seen, people are saying the Dutch are going to win the group.
I have seen several, but I haven't seen, I don't know what the word is exactly. Yeah, anyway, continue. Sorry, I don't even know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I
clearly don't.
Thanks, Lars. Appreciate it.
Lars, please. I just think that there is some defeatist attitude. I think there's also a lot of people out there who just kind of are wondering what it would, you know, they just can't believe that we could have the ultimate success, if you will. You know? And that's interesting to me. We do have this kind of defeatist attitude across the country, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something else that's disappointing to me, is the Canadian defeatist attitude is rearing its ugly head
right
in the walk up to this, you know, and that's something the women's team has managed to kind of break down at times, is we have found some success to the point where we can break down that defeatist attitude. We've never won at all. And if we were able to, man, if we won it all, I mean, this is just completely crazy talk, but if we won it all here, like, that'd be insane. That would be, I think you would see this outpouring of held back nationalism and pride, and we would make the U.S. look surprised by the amount of rah-rah Canada that would be coming out of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be crazy. There'd be the baby boomers who would be like, everybody calm down. And then there'd be everybody younger than the baby boomers being like, shut up, you old people, and going crazy.
Lars, do you agree with Jeff that maybe...
basically playing out like a Scooby-Doo episode.
Yeah, yeah, pretty well.
Soccer wouldn't be popular if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Yeah, exactly. Lars, do you agree with Jeff that maybe this is just defeatism?
It is defeatism. I think it's just typical Canadian. We can't support our guys, so yeah, it's defeatism, pure.
Can I just give you guys a rundown of the Dutch results this year so far? They've had 9 matches, and I find this kind of fascinating. They've won 3 of them. The teams they've beat are Thailand, who they absolutely pumped, like 7-0. I don't remember where Thailand is ranked. I looked it up earlier, but I've forgotten. They're like way
near the bottom.
Yeah, way down there. They absolutely pumped Estonia 7-0. But I think Estonia is ranked.
I'm looking at it right now. Netherlands beat Thailand 7-0, but they lost 1-0 to Australia.
Yeah. I was about to tell you this. Yeah. Yeah, they lost Australia 1-0. They tied Finland 0-0. They tied England 1-1, which is a good result.
Yeah.
But then they went on to lose to Scotland 3-1. They lost to Iceland 2-1.
Yep.
Now they beat Norway. Now Norway's a tougher team, 3-2. But then they lost to Sweden 2-1. Now Sweden's not a bad team either. So they got some okay results in there. The two giant wins, though, I think are kind of meaningless. Like anybody ranked 20 or higher is probably going to absolutely mop the floor with a team like Estonia, which is ranked in whatever, the 70s or the 80s.
Yeah.
And in women's soccer, being ranked in the 70s or 80s is almost akin to not existing at all, right? Like they're barely teams. But being beat by Scotland 3-1 is not, and Iceland 2-1 is not really something in their favor either. Now, there's this kind of X factor, you know, the person that gets hot and wins you tournaments with this Vivian Medema, right? Who, of course, you remember this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If she really goes off in this tournament and scores a bunch of goals, she'll be Funky Cole Medema.
Yeah.
But if she doesn't, she'll be like Vivian Miasma, maybe, or something like that. I don't know. Miasma. But
misdemeanor, Vivian misdemeanor.
Yeah, misdemeanor. That's right. So, I mean, there's that, right? If she gets hot and she bags a bunch of goals, she could be a difference maker. I can see that. I can see fear creeping into people a little bit because of that. But otherwise, I don't think the results are, I think our results are better than theirs. You know,
yeah.
we beat and tied Sweden. We should have beaten Japan, in Vancouver, but gave up a late goal to the Japanese.
Yeah.
Just beat England. That was a decent result. We'll talk about that next.
Too, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so there's really nothing to discuss here. We all kind of agree. This is just defeatism, and we're actually going to do better than people think we are.
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay, let's hope that that's the case then. All right, we're talking about the friendly. And by friendly, yeah, that's what we said immediately. Let's talk about the friendly. Okay, click. Let's talk about the friendly. It's way more funny for the three of us than anybody listening to this. We have to realize it's just terrible. Anyway, so we're talking about England against our women in Hamilton. Hey, first of all, good on Hamilton for packing that place.
No kidding, eh?
Right?
Yeah.
Sold it out. Looked like a good crowd. A nice, really red, lots of red in the stands. I heard that the whole Voyageurs thing in the beer garden in the end zone was pretty well attended and went smoothly, but a few people were saying that it's really far away from the field.
Ooh, that's poopy.
So yeah, that's unfortunate, but what are you going to do, right? You got to try it out. It's a new stadium. People didn't know where stuff was, so... I wish I could have made that game. It would have been a lot of fun. However, a good result. Let's talk about things that we can take away from that game. Lars, why don't you start? We talked about it quite a bit off air anyway.
Sophie Schmidt performed quite well. Number one.
Yep.
Which is good because we have someone who can actually attack other than Christine Sinclair. Number two was the Canadian attack for, I would say, most of the game actually looked like it was, what's the word? Actually looked like it was, sorry, I'm just blanking out right now, on point. And this was especially notable if you watch, actually, the English defenders were pretty much standing still the whole time. Now, I'm not sure if that's a combination of our play and their fatigue, the jet lag, but certainly it was something that would give you hope. What else did we talk about? It's been a while.
I'm trying to think.
We'll go with this, Jeff.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Sophie Schmidt's goal was world-class. Like, when you see that hit from the front, that thing curved into the postage stamp.
Mm-hmm. It really did, didn't it?
It was high and a little bit wide, and it curved itself into the postage stamp. Like, not even a men's keeper would have had a chance against that one. You know, and I don't mean to bring a little bit of sexism into this, because perhaps that is, but let's just be honest, like, that's a compliment to that shot. Not even a men's keeper would have, not even Manuel Neuer would have been able to save that one.
Yeah, it was pretty much unstoppable, and it was a laser, too. Like, it was moving. She hit it sweetly.
Oh, yeah. She even said she doesn't remember. It was a blur. But, yeah, my favorite, Adriana Leon, she didn't really show up for that match. I felt she was pretty pretty well marked out of the game, which is concerning. Why?
Yeah.
Oh, because she's a good player, that's why. So, yeah. So she pretty well got marked out of the game. You know, that was unfortunate, because she's had better games in the past, and that one definitely wasn't one of them. Christine Sinclair still seems to be a target, and she is being used in a very interesting tactical way. John Herdman knows that teams are terrified of her, and they will double team her or triple team her when they get the chance. And he knows that I think all the other girls on the pitch understand that she is the linchpin still for the team. If Sinclair gets hurt, let's say against China, our World Cup ends. I'm sorry, but our World Cup ends. We just will not be able to recover without her on the pitch. She is that star player that we have. She is absolutely crucial. And I finally fully understand why everybody else has been saying this. But everything still goes through her. She is our Rome, if you will. All roads lead to her. All passes, when we get into good scoring positions, somehow end up with her in the picture. She's either pulling players to her to mark her out, or she is delivering the key pass that leads to our scoring opportunity. And God willing, she bags some. You know, if she doesn't end up on the score sheet in the group stage, I don't think that is necessarily a bad thing, as long as we're winning games. And I think that, you know, people will want to realize that. I think this is Sophie Schmidt's World Cup, not Christine Sinclair's. And that's a fairly bold statement.
Interesting.
If I may say so. But I think this is Sophie Schmidt's World Cup. If Diana Matheson was healthy, this would equally be her World Cup. But because she isn't, this is now Sophie Schmidt's World Cup. Sophie Schmidt's going to be our top goal scorer. That's my prediction.
You could be right. Yeah, you could be right. Some interesting lineup decisions, hey?
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, wait a second. Where are these coming from? Some of them are really kind of bizarre. Jose Belanger is a right back. You know, like she's a forward.
Yeah.
But they've got injuries, right? I didn't even realize that they had the injuries that they had. Rianne Wilkinson's got a knock, and Marie Evnaud has got a knock. But they shifted her back there. And for the first 10 or 15 minutes, you know, it looked dicey, I thought. But then after that, she settled in, and she's the one that provided the ball that Sophie Schmidt stroked into the top corner.
Right.
So that was good. Do you think that that's something he's going to stick with, or is he just kind of messing with people?
That's a tough call. I say he sticks with it because it worked so well. I mean, after the match, all of our players were mentioning how well she slotted into that role.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Ashley Lawrence, too, gets a start in midfield. That was interesting.
Her and Desiree in midfield, right?
Yeah. And Sophie Schmidt, right?
And Sophie Schmidt. But Sophie was out wide left, wasn't she?
She seemed to pop up in the center off and on. I mean, she was in the pretty much in the middle of the pitch when she hit that goal.
Yeah,
she was more on the left, more on the left.
Did she play on the left, play on the right?
Yeah. What does she make Messi look like?
Yeah.
Here's the other thing with Sinclair that I'm just curious about, and maybe you've kind of got it all figured out. Maybe you shouldn't have said that, Jeff. Other teams are going to listen to our podcast and figure out the women's team.
Yes, Chinese headquarters is currently listening in.
Well, you know that they record all conversations that go around on around the world anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just making stuff up. Sinclair was dropping deep to get the ball regularly. Yeah. Do you think that's tactical, or do you think that's because she was being crowded out in the middle?
Tactical. 100% tactical.
Yeah?
She's then pulling people in towards her, right? And opening up the rest of the pitch. And suddenly we have more space in their attacking third.
And I also don't think England is exactly playing up to the point where they could have put her out of the game if they wanted to.
Right.
No, they marked her out when she was in the attacking third. They were definitely double-teaming her.
I don't know. I just... After watching ball after ball move into that attacking third there, I honestly believe that England was not playing up to the highest level. They actually looked like they were Toronto FC marking, Toronto FC defending. They were standing still and ball watching. If you, and I don't know if that's because they were dazzled by our amazing Canadian attack or if they were genuinely tired. So, but I don't think, I think it was probably they were tired, but you know, looking at that, I actually think that the decision, if it was tactical, was unnecessary, and maybe they were just trying something out.
Yeah, possibly. You know, I personally don't think our attack was as awesome as you guys have said it was.
We had sustained pressure.
We had some sustained pressure, but
didn't
we
have
really
a whole, didn't have a ton of clean. Yeah, didn't have a ton of clean looks.
No.
Three or four, maybe.
We were sloppy with the ball. I felt that we were really sloppy with the ball for a large part of our possession. We were crossing into a crowded box because we were running out of ideas. I don't know. I don't think we were as good as England made us look. And that makes me a little bit concerned for the China match.
Yeah,
you know,
interesting.
I don't know what type of team China is. I assume they probably play very possession-oriented. We tend to get dominated by teams that play highly possession-oriented. I'm concerned that we're not going to get as many chances against China as we did against England. And if we are not clinical, we're walking out with a nil-niller or maybe a 1-0 loss, you know?
Yeah, I just got to say, yeah, I might not have any fingers left if the game goes, you know, into the 60th, 70th, 80th minute and we haven't scored one.
Yeah.
I'll have chewed them off. I'm already nervous. It's like the week before. I'm already nervous about that game. So actually, why don't we segue a little bit, because this is another thing we should mention. All three of us are going to be at that game, at the first game on June 6th.
Yeah.
Heck, this is going to be the first time that we've seen a game together in like 3 years.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. So that's cool.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Why don't you talk a little bit about the game and what you're looking forward to, Lars?
What do you mean about what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to seeing all the people that I haven't seen in a few years. I'm looking forward to the atmosphere that we create at the games, and I'm looking forward to witnessing our Canadian girls walk away with a win. And girls, sorry, I say girls, ladies walk away with a win.
Jeff?
Yeah, I pretty well have to ditto what Lars just said. I can't wait to see everybody at pre-match. Can't wait to be in the stands. There's going to be a whole ton of us Saskies there.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-match is basically going to be a Saskatchewan event. You know?
Oh, there are a ton of us.
There's a ton of us that are going to be there. Ton of us. That Saskatchewan flag that you're going to bring is going to have to go around for sure.
Might have to bring a Sharpie and get everybody to sign it or something like that.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, we definitely should.
I have to go get that. Forgot about that.
Yeah, you have your Sask flag too, Lars, that you've brought to a bunch of games.
Yeah, it's the one that made it into a few TSN commercials.
You know what? It also made it into, you know that, I was just talking with Sonia Missio on Twitter the other day, because that flag is in that book. What's the book, name of the book that came out last year or the year before? It's like Soccer Canada's Game or something like that. It's this great big kind of coffee table style book with a whole bunch
Robert's
of...
book?
No, not Robert's book. No, not Robert's book. don't you guys have this book?
No.
Heck, I ordered one for Finch and sent it to him in like Russia.
Jesus,
Well, clearly you hate us because you didn't do the same.
You didn't do the same for us, yeah.
I was pretty sure since you were in Canada, you could get your own. No, it's in that book. It was actually the Panama game. The picture was taken at the Panama game, and Lee Cormish is underneath the banner. Remember, there's that big banner that was Our Time to Shine?
Yeah.
So Lee Cormish's head was underneath the banner.
Yeah.
The Saskatchewan flag was on the capo stand. And you can just kind of see me holding up the one side of the banner.
Yeah.
And I just remember standing there going, geez, I don't even know what I'm getting into here. And this thing is heavy and the wind's blowing it. And I've got arms like a 10-year-old boy. And I'm trying to hold this great big huge banner up. It was quite the introduction to watching soccer in Toronto, I got to say.
Yeah.
But yes, Lars, I'm assuming you're going to bring that Sasky flag.
I guess I have to now.
Yeah, you do. You got to find it. And yeah. I have one as well, but it hasn't made it to as many games as yours has, I don't think, Lars. My Saskatchewan flag hasn't made it to as many games.
How many games has it been to?
Jeez, I'll have to think.
Mine's only been to two.
Oh, okay. It's been to more then. It has been to more.
Your Sask flag is a horror, Rob. It's been around.
It's been around a lot, yeah. Well, it was at the women's game in Winnipeg last year.
Yeah.
It was at the two under 20 women's games in Toronto and the under 20 women's game in Edmonton. So there's four. And it was at the men's Gold Cup game in Seattle and the men's Gold Cup game in Denver. So there's six.
Oh boy.
It's doing pretty well actually.
Yeah.
So yes, it's definitely going to be making the trip. And also Mike in Edmonton is purchasing like all 10 provincial flags and three territorial flags.
That's awesome.
And we're going to rig them up and march with them into the stadium as well.
That's
so
awesome, yeah.
That'll add some color to our color party.
That is dandy.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure that people can tell we're really pumped up about this. I don't think we have too much more to say. All analysis of what's going to happen in the actual games is going to go out the window as soon as they blow the whistle, because it's going to be about what our women can produce on the field. Let's hope they produce something stunningly awesome, especially in that first game, and get her going. And please, 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 Edmonton and surrounding areas or anywhere else in Canada that wants to come to Edmonton for those games, get to those games, get your tickets and get in there, because our women need us behind them. And that brings us to the end of episode 49. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you out at the Women's World Cup in Edmonton and Montreal, where our women are playing, and at all the other venues. Until then, take care.